What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to episode 122 of Cali Brick Click. You already know we got Claire down here. We got Shy.
Yep.
But today we have a special guest, Andres of ASAP Animation.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, chopping it up with us.
So a little bit on ASAP, and I didn't do this last week. I'm sorry. Sorry, Amber Lyons. So, but a little history on ASAP with me. We've been like kind of going back and forth with each other for like almost 3 years. I think like my first integration into the Lego community. He had this one video that like attracted me. Like it's a lot of like military animation stuff, but this Fury video is like one of like my favorite animations. I mean, I still think it holds up till today for the time that you did it, but you know, that's that we'll get into that in a second. But before that, who are you?
Yeah, my name is Andreas. I'm 25 years old. For work, I'm a photographer and editor. Like I work in Norwegian TV and movies. But on the free time, I love Lego. I love doing Lego content, and also I do some freelance designing for Brickmania.
So then what got you into Lego and then like posting it?
I've been doing Lego for as long as I can remember, like having the Duplos growing up and eventually getting into Star Wars. And of course, the Star Wars movie were a big influence on me. Same with like the Indiana Jones movies. So when I got those sets back in like 2008, 2009, I started just doing some animations with them. I got my first phone when I was 9 years old. It was just like a Nokia phone, like a really shitty phone, and just started taking photos and making some small animations. And from there, like I was sold, like I loved doing that stuff, and I just kept doing it when I was growing up, buying more Lego sets and improving like my equipment. And I just knew like then that I would go into like movies and animation and that stuff. So, but also Lego being there like my whole life. But I had my dark ages when I was like in middle school. I was more into like playing soccer and video games, but I dabbled into Lego like at that time as well. Like if there was like a good Star Wars set, I would pick that up. And then I came out of my dark ages again when I started going to high school, because I started like media communications school. So I was doing like a lot of film classes, editing classes, and I just was pulled right back into doing more animations. It was like 2016, 2017, I was pumping out like a bunch of animations. Like I was doing like once a week, I was recreating scenes from Star Wars, and I was doing like some war stuff, Marvel stuff. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. But then when you grow up, you realize that it takes a lot of time. Got into like university and I moved out of my house. I realized that I don't have time for this anymore. And then the pandemic came, and I took the chance like, oh, I'm off for school for like 3 weeks because of the pandemic. So I just told myself I'm going to get all of the animations that I had started. I'm going to finish them all and then just stop doing animations. So I've spent like 3 full weeks just editing. Like there was the zombie video I did, and then there was the Fury video for Brickmania. And they're quite popular, and I feel like that was like a good way to go out on the animation stuff. And I have been doing some animation afterwards, but mostly for war. Also, I've been having some like courses for younger kids, teaching them how they can do their own stop motion animations. It's a lot easier today, I feel, with like phones and iPads that have stop motion apps. So it's easy to get into it now, I feel like. So yeah, also moving over to Instagram, TikTok, that sort of stuff.
So Lego kind of got you into film from the very beginning. That's actually really cool to hear. So it's nice to see, because I personally loved editing since I was little, and I did it very like horribly. So like the old school VHS record stuff, and like, you know what I mean? But like I figured out, yeah. I guess it does. Yeah, because I didn't have a good computer back when I was 10 or 11, 12. But I thought one day I would get into filming or editing in one point in my life, and then I just did it. I just kind of went a different path. So it's cool to see someone who actually fulfilled that dream that I personally once had. And I've mentioned it before, I love editing, and I have been hit in the past with like having to do it for money, like for real money. And it's like, it kind of hinders that love for, you know, just you doing this as a hobby, but it's interesting to see that because you do this for a living, does that really impact you making YouTube videos as a long form? So you don't like making content because you actually do this for real life.
We said two sides of the coin. It's like when I go to work, I love my work. Like I'm filming and editing for like 10 and 12 hours during the day. And then I get home. It's like the least thing I want to do now is like go and do more of the same stuff that I'm just thinking about, like what I'm going to do at work tomorrow and the next week. And just it takes a lot of my time. But also having a personal life and usually also just putting away my phone and putting away my laptop, just building some Lego. I think that's why a lot of people enjoy this hobby as well. Like it's the only time I'm not focusing on a screen. Like I'm very addicted to my phone. So it's a good way to put away my phone and the computer for a while just to build some Lego.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I mean, I personally work from a computer, not animating or editing like all day to only like once I'm not working into editing mode or filming, like it's a lot of filming. And lately, since I've been building this little castle behind me, like it's giving me a break from having to come on the screen. I think the only real editing time that I've done the past almost month and some change is Cali Bricklick stuff.
Yeah.
So I haven't done much at all, which has been a good break, at least for me, just to kind of like turn off the phone, turn off like my mind and just actually enjoy the Lego process. You know what I mean? So I don't know how it is for you, Claire, because I know you work a lot from the computer as well. Like, and you also only pump like a video a month now at this point.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, honestly, like, I don't really like sitting in front of the computer a lot, but it kind of just like happens. Like, you get used to it. Unfortunately, it's been like, what, you know, 20 years, like sitting in front of the computer constantly, like, you know, since college. And I don't know. Or like, we even had laptops in high school and stuff. And it's either, yeah, like, if I want to be productive, I have to be in front of the computer. If I'm not productive, I have to be productive in like other ways, like, you know, stuff around the house or like other projects and stuff like that. And then, or I just like kind of am like, I'm not being productive. It's okay. And then that's like a conversation about productivity in other ways. But like, I try. Yeah, I have to. I don't have a choice, unfortunately. I wish I did. No, but like my work is kind of cool because I get to go to job sites and stuff like that, too. So I get to
break your eyes from the screen.
Yeah. And like when I was in an office, we would have, you know, meetings in person and pretty common for like corporate jobs and stuff, but we don't have that anymore. And honestly, like I'm not upset about it because those were like massive waste of time. Mm-hmm. And so you'd still have to like get home and get on the computer and you'd be on the computer until 3 o'clock in the morning versus like just 6 o'clock at night. So yeah, I mean, look, it's, you gotta take care of your brain and your eyes and all that stuff. So, but unfortunately we like don't live in a, you know, we talk a lot about like getting off our screens, but like all our jobs depend on it. So I just think it's kind of like a bunch of it, to be honest. Like I just think it's like it just, at least here in the Bay, it just like feels like it's a lot of like problems created out of nothing when like we're not actually, like we all still have to be on the computer. Do you know what I mean? Like,
does that I mean, but for me though, this is new. Like remember, like my two previous careers, I did barely anything, the last one, and then the one before, obviously I was on the computer, but not as much. Now I'm like the entire workday is on computer screens and I'm like, whoa. And then just to flip it to my own personal laptop to edit or to watch or whatever, it's like a big like, oh wait, I need to turn my brain off, you know? And I think this month was a good reflection of like prioritizing, like just turning off like the work mode. Cause I feel like even though before, like I was able, even though I was working and then obviously doing the hobby, as far as like, you know, YouTube and Lego, like it still felt like a big difference, you know, like it didn't feel alike. Like I didn't go, whoop, now it's time to, I'm still sitting on my work desk. You know, that this is new. Like I came from a different place. So
that's, you're only at an advantage because like, that means you have like, you're the same age as me. You've been active for the majority of your time while I've been like sedentary staring at a computer. Right. And so, I mean like, look, I wouldn't be like, I wish I went to war, but like, but, and you obviously have the physical like injuries and stuff from that, but it's really bad to like sit at a computer and like
hunch over
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm learning that the past 2 years have definitely told me that I need to fix my way of movement.
Like buy like $1,000 chair.
Yeah. Standing desk. And it's taken me like a year and some change to like start to invest in stuff like that. So anyway, we hardcore went to the left. ASAP. Look, so it's, I'm sorry that you're not like active on the YouTube stuff. And I didn't really like, you know, was saddened about it. You're always around the community as far as like the military side. And one thing that we haven't really done much on here, and we kind of touched with it with like, you know, Brickmania, anytime any of those chaps come on. There is a military Lego community that a lot of people that who listen to this aren't really familiar with, or, you know, they just acknowledge. And also you come from Norway. So that's another community that we are not familiar with. But let's just actually start with that. So what's the Lego community like where you're from?
Oh, the Lego community in Norway is really good. I think there's a lot of fans, especially after COVID, that have like people have been more open to come out and say that they enjoy Lego. We recently had our first season of Lego Masters, which I was asked to go on that show, but I was doing my finals in university, so I couldn't make it. So, but I would have loved to. If they do a season two, I would love to go on that, but not yet. But after COVID, like a bunch of people really got into Lego, I think. And there's a couple of big conventions. There are more like small conventions, but there's one that has been going for over 10 years that is happening this weekend that I'm preparing for right now. And it's that one. There's many thousand visitors and I think over 100 displayers maybe.
Okay.
Of all ages and genders. So I think it's great, and it's nice to see that also, even though you're in a different country, you can also be part of like a different community. Like growing up I've always been watching like the YouTube videos from like Brickworld Chicago, but not being able to go just because it's so far, so having something a bit closer is nice. And I think it's like that for a lot of countries that have their own like convention. So I hope that if you are from maybe a smaller country, you could look up if you have a convention close to you. But yeah, there's a couple of big ones in Norway. There's one in Oslo that is happening during like October, and there's one in Trondheim happening in April. So look out for those if you are in the Scandinavia area. Maybe
are you a part of a lug, or are there a local lug in your area?
Yeah, there's a Brick lug. That's just like the general lug for most Norwegians that they're a part of. And then there are smaller lugs as well, but I'm not part of any of those. So,
I mean, it would make sense for Lego to have a serious presence in Norway. I mean, Denmark is not far.
Yeah, but we also don't have a Lego store in Norway. So that's... what? People have been messaging me like, oh, is there a Lego store at the airport? Can I buy some Lego there? And I'm like, there's no Lego store anywhere. Like there's no pick a brick walls or anything. So
that is interesting. There's not a single Lego store in Norway.
No, you have to go to a toy store. So I used to work at a toy store while I was going to university. So that was a really good experience for me. I was working there just a bit during the pandemic. So I could see like the sales of Lego going up a lot when the pandemic hits. Like, and a lot of more like adult people coming out and buying like the biggest set and say like, this is for me. Like, and I thought that was so nice.
So going into that, is there a huge like military Lego community up there?
No, not really.
That kind of
some people think it's cool. I have been displaying military Lego for a while now, and people usually come up and say, oh, this is fake Lego or something along those lines. Like, this is illegal Lego. And just like... critique it and avoid it. But a lot of people come up to me and say like, because I build Norwegian military stuff as well, so people say, oh, I used to drive this vehicle, or I have friends that work on this. Or it's nice seeing like the military community come more into the Lego world. But there's not a lot of military builders. There's Umar Tiger 131, who's a great friend of me. He lives very close by, so we hang out a bit and build some Lego. And he's also been doing some work for Brickmania. So
interesting. Like one of the biggest, I guess, competitors to Lego, I mean, in brick building is Kobe, right? And they're a European brand. Do you know if there's like a strong military like building presence at least all of Europe?
I don't really know. I see it a lot on TikTok, but I never really know how big like the Kobe stuff is there. Mm-hmm. Most people, I think, try to buy from like Brickissimo, who's a Brickmania reseller. I think like that's how most people get into. Or of course, Forest Moon Brick and United Bricks also
do. Yeah, they're also like they make the custom minifigures. So like it's. I would expect a lot of the fandom would come from the United States. I mean, based on our history and like our the industrial complex of what it is. So there's a lot of people that come that work in that industry. There's a lot of people that come out of the military here. It's a very strong presence. So I would easily see it being a huge fandom in the United States. But it is also cool to see what it's like in like countries that are not the United States. And I get a lot of, at least like when I look into where my demographics are when it contains like just military stuff, there is a huge presence coming from Europe.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that. Like, why are you into Lego military stuff?
Me personally, I got into Brickmania actually when I was quite young. I think it was like 2010, 2011. I got my first Brickmania kits. Just me and my brother, we got one tank each, like one American tank and one German tank. And we had so much fun with those, but they were like super expensive at the time. And also like shipping has only increased the prices recently, and the price of customs and everything is it's so expensive. So it's very hard to keep doing this from Europe, which is one of the reasons why I don't personally buy a lot of Brickmania myself. It's very, unless I can get it from Brickissimo or things like that. So
you've done some freelance work for Brickmania though, right?
I have. I've been building some kits. That was really when the pandemic hit. People were staying at home, and I realized that all of the Brickmania designers were at home. So I sent a message to them and said, hey, if you guys are working from home, maybe I can work from home for you guys. And sent over some designs. Dan said that these were not good enough, so I had to like improve them a lot. So we were sending a lot of back and forth, and eventually we got to a point where we're like, yeah, we can work with this, and we got a contract and put out some kits, mostly 2021, a few kits last year, and we have some more kits coming this year as well.
And one of them is the Indiana Jones set, quote, not necessarily Indiana Jones, but it is.
Yeah.
What was it called? Sunday Afternoon?
Saturday.
Matinee or something like that? How does it feel to like have a real rendition of what was a classic Indiana Jones set, like made in production?
I'm a movie fan, working with movies. I always love to build like the movie replicas. So like the Fury tank, I had to get that.
Oh my gosh, yes, I love that. It's still one of my favorite like Brickmania sets.
Yeah, so whenever there's like a movie set I get the opportunity to make, I want to do it. So of course, Indiana Jones being one of my favorite movies, and at the time there were no Indiana Jones sets coming out, like there hasn't been in 15 years or so. So I was like, oh, I really want to make this. And I looked up like the Indiana Jones scenes and what trucks are these based off, and like the truck that is used in the movies is not a real vehicle. It's supposed to look like a German Mercedes, but they used the American GMC CCKW, but they just slapped the Mercedes logo on it and said good enough. So trying to just make it look like both the real version and the movie version at the same time, because of course we don't have the license to make Indiana Jones sets, but we can just make the real vehicles that these are made of. So that's what we wanted to do.
Yeah. So did you, I'm assuming you picked up all the Indiana Jones sets,
Lego? Oh, ones. Yeah. I got mine in the mail, I ordered them all the first day, and I got the big one, the idol set, and recently built that. I have it on my shelf like right here, but I'm still waiting for the other two to come in the mail. They haven't arrived yet. Oh yeah, that one.
I found this at Target yesterday.
Oh, nice.
I was like, oh, well, I just grabbed it because I went to the Lego store like twice since it's been released, and this one in particular is the one that's not coming in restock. I don't know where it is on other stores, but at least here in LA, the plain one isn't coming anytime soon.
It seems to have been a very limited release. Like, a lot of the stores here cannot get them. I think you have to order them through Lego.com mainly to get them here.
Is there a Brickmania matinee part two of one of these things? Because I've been kind of waiting for it. I know Sans. Did Sans finish building it?
One, yeah.
There it is.
It was one of my favorite sets just growing up, that original set. I have three of it. I just love that original set. But I was like, this is not accurate. I can't use it with my other Brickmania sets.
So. Well, yeah, because like Brickmania is like very... Oh, there. Yeah. Just
a little one. That's the original one. Yeah.
Still you guys nice. Have both on display like that? Wow.
What do you want him to do?
That's true. Good point. I feel like... So my original version of the Lego version of that like is so fragile. Like every time I put it together, something breaks.
Yeah. So it's like the old clips, and it has the old
like all the clips are broken. Oh, look at that! Oh, look, it's like what Claire does with her videos now.
We each have one. So like this is his that he played with. Mm-hmm. That's like kind of tore up, and then I kept mine in pretty immaculate condition because I kept my fabric between cardboard. His was actually like played with. Mine was not. Yeah.
That's the difference weathered. Between, Claire just building displaying as a kid and then Sans destroying.
Yeah, I never played with Lego for sure. But this one I think I got later. I did get this one later. Like I was when a kid, I think I was like, yeah, I was not a child. When yeah.
But still though, right? You built it and you like that was your
play. I think I built it and I put it on display for like a week and then I immediately put it away for like 10 years. Yeah.
So my Brickmania one's displayed, but the Lego one, I'm like, oh, dude, like I said, every clip now is broken.
Yeah. I think I got that like right after I graduated from college. So just to give you a little bit of idea of like I was not a child. Yeah.
Presumably it was brand new out of box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See. Well, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is Indiana Jones military?
Yeah, I think it is military Lego. I think it's the closest we're going to get. And I'm really happy about it. Not just because I'm a military fan, but I think it's a good thing overall for Lego to do more military stuff. So there is quite a big audience and a lot of people who want to see more military sets. Like you have been talking about that a lot. Like there's a big community of people who have been serving in the military or they have family in the military or... have interest in history, they want to build military Lego, but if they don't make it, what are you going to do? I think it's a good compromise personally.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I mean, it's a very touchy part of the history of military history, but in overall, like,
what about Avatar?
Dude, that's straight Marine Corps. I just started watching Avatar 2 since it came out on on iTunes, but the military like world, I mean, there's more than just like the people who serve, right? There's like the families of the people who serve. There are the manufacturers or the people who make all the, not just weapons and machinery, but like, other things that come into play, like uniforms and stuff like that. So there's a lot of people out there in the workforce that can relate to, just a simple Lego set, like even if it's just a pilot. Yeah. It was a Luftwaffe pilot, but it's a pilot. So if Lego's gonna highlight this that one section, although it is fantasy. Like, why not highlight some of the positivity of it? And Lego has technically done it with the Royal Queen's Guard. Is that what they're called? Redcoats from Hamleys. Yeah, that's a straight military minifigure that you can buy right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm kind of perplexed with like their stance on it, and I don't know if Lego's currently defined their present day. Stance on military sets. I mean, they did with the Osprey when that was when that debacle happened. But like the only thing that we have on paper is what they said during the time that they did that. I mean, I've used it a couple times when Jan Byer like defined what Lego military was. I've used that clip a bunch of times where he says like anything World War II and beyond is modern military. Everything is modern military. Yeah. No matter what it is. And in that video, which I always clip out because it's just so far along, Indiana Jones is in the realm of fantasy. So Avatar 2 is in a world of fantasy. Even though the Ninja Turtle sets, the foot, I don't know if you've seen those, but like those, the foot soldiers, they look like modern day mercenaries, like with the ammo pouches and stuff like that. I'm like, this straight up looks like a terrorist. But like, they have played with it, and they've made the World War One planes, the Camel and the Fokker. So like, I get it. They don't want to make too let's say we went to war with like England. I'm just gonna use a huge ally. It's like you're having kids choose a side and mimic actual things that are happening in real life. And I think they don't want to touch that, and the controversy and all that kind of stuff that can occur from having something like that. But if you were to keep it fantasy all the way through, like making something that looks like an F-22, you know what I mean? That's not necessarily called the F-22, or maybe it is, but like finding it something totally not military, like an alien, like, you know, just make alien conquest a little bit more present day realistic, I think would be pretty cool and fun to see. Like having Lego make fun looking Humvees as opposed to the actual Humvee, and not telling them to make a UCS version of a Humvee, but like I feel like it can be done, and I feel like that would satisfy a lot of people because it gives acknowledgement to, you know, that industry and people who are a part of it, because it impacts us all. And also not like highlighting like real world conflict.
And I hope that Lego want to lean more into the 18 plus line. Like that's where I think it should belong. Like the Indiana Jones set, one of them is 18 plus, but that's not the military one. So it's kind of where does the balance go? I think the Osprey was a mistake by Lego, especially just by making it like a rescue.
It's Osprey. Not.
It's like, do you want to make an Abrams and put rescue on it? It's like, it's. I think it's a mistake if they want to avoid modern military. I think that's not the right way to go about it. I think the Indiana Jones way is a lot safer because it's fantasy, and it feels like it's the same discussion with like, does video games, shooters, does that make kids more violent? Personally, I don't think it does. I think it's been proven like most people don't become violent by watching action movies or playing shooter video games. Generally, I don't think so. So playing with Lego and war toys, I don't think it makes a kid more violent. When we were kids, we used to go and play with sticks in the woods, and it was playing war. But if you're doing it with Lego, I don't think it makes a kid more violent or more prone to war.
So I think Lego did do a study, or they took a study from somewhere. I don't know how old the study is. I can't really talk to it as much. I can only say what was recited in the video. But like, it's natural for young boys to like want to play war. I remember being a young boy, like we're playing knights and, you know, cowboys and robbers, or cowboys and Indians, or like, you know, cops and robbers. That's like a natural thing. Like they just want to come. Like my kids, I give them a sword and a shield. What are they instinctively going to do? They're going to hit each other with it. So it's just it's in that study, it's not proven to show that they're going to be more violent as they grow up, as long as you kind of gauge the context of what they're doing. But it would be kind of interesting to see, like, you and I are really huge fans of Lego military. I'm interested to see what Claire and Ninja have to say to that idea.
What, doing like a fantasy like war?
Just in general, your whole opinion on the matter. Because like, you know, you love military Lego Brickmania because of me. And, you know, and Sans with Indiana Jones. Like, it's not like...
No,
like,
not true.
Well, okay, fine. So like, did you buy Brickmania before me?
I would have bought Brickmania for my dad. My dad worked like at arm's length with like the military. You know what I mean? Like I have profited, like my life has profited from the American military institution, as well as we do feel very strongly about the whole, like all the privileges of living in the United States and what that comes with and the sacrifices that people have made and the representation of that in Brickmania. However, like I have a hard time comprehending, you know, little boys like playing war and stuff like that. I'm an only child. I'm a girl. I didn't play like that. So I get that. I get the studies that say that, like, you know, playing violent video games and doing violent things maybe doesn't necessarily like result in more violent people. But I think there's, I don't think it's as simple as that. You know what I mean? I think it's like probably quite a bit more complicated. I don't try to think I know what I'm talking about with child psychology in any way, shape, or form. I also don't have the desire to like see myself or see my own identity in Lego And so I understand that there's a lot of people who feel that way in like all sorts of different branches. And granted, only one of the two of you is actually a vet, you know, so it's like, it's not even like you're seeing yourself. It's like a fascination and like a history. I do also think it is incredibly stupid to pretend like history didn't happen. And so like, and I think there's a lot of dangers in that. And we've like shown like a lot of repeat in that behavior, but I don't know if Lego is like the space for it, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't,
of course.
But I don't know, but I do like your idea of like fantasy warfare and fantasy interaction. I just don't know if we might also like kind of already have that in a way, but
right. We do, but it's very minimal.
I like what I you said about like making something about one of the positive situations instead of always having to be in conflict. Like you can make a representation of, I don't know what at the moment, but
oh, okay, yeah. So you know, like
some kind of positive.
Highline the Royal Guard, I think, is a good positive.
Right, like that.
Right, that is a like that. That's history amongst itself. It tells a lot about, you know, the Queen, the UK, like that history and what they still have till to this day. I think it's a, and you could always buy it every time you go over there. It's very special to that area, so I think that is a huge positive. Right. Military does a lot of rescuing, saving, you know, protecting. Exactly. They do a lot of positives, and it doesn't have to be highlighted on present day actual military. It'll be cool, but you could take, you know, if I mean, also another thing, like I don't think Lego should make a United States dressed blue Marine uniform. It will be cool, but I think that's kind of highlighting too much, and it's not really for the masses, right? Even though it's an iconic piece, like the Royal Guard, but if they make something more fictitious that kind of highlights different pretty or beautiful aspects of different branches around the world, I mean, that's, you know, encompassing everybody. And
but why though? Like, I guess my question is like, why? Because like, if you look at like Lego's like marketing and their like efforts right now, right? What are they trying to achieve? They're like, we want to bring play, like play back to adults, play back to for children to interact, children to be away from their screens, and to like do that kind of behavioral, like, you know, increase dexterity, increase fine motor skills, like, you know, activate different parts of the brain. Why is it also their responsibility to, you know, have it show historical relevance? You know what I mean? My point is like, sometimes I feel like we ask too much of Lego. Do you know what I mean? Like, we ask them to not only like, you know, like take our kids' screens away from them, like, you know, activate their creative side, you know, make sure that they don't get like muscle developments in their hands because they're on TikTok all day. You know what I mean? But like, like, why also do we have to like see ourselves and see every like, and but it's also
teach them while we're going.
But it is like, yeah, exactly. But it is also like the same argument as to like why different, you know, identities want to see themselves in Lego as well. It's like this desire. It's a lot of that is that desire to see specific things. And also like, I would question like, why do you need it? You know, like, why do you, I know you love like the military and stuff. Like I love like so many different things, but like, I don't need that from Lego. So like, I would just ask yourself like what it is that you're looking from Lego. And if it's like unsatisfying you, then I don't know. Like, what are you asking for? You know, I mean?
As a kid.
Interesting.
I like to mimic and recreate giant war seeds. And I'm currently doing that now with my Black Falcon Army. So that's fixating that. But I can't do it in a modern way that I would like to see it. Like I also tried doing like Civil War stuff, using like the Imperials as like as close as I can get to it. So it's not easily accessible. You can make it work, but I did that as a child. And I was always into military as a kid. And it wasn't that like, and you know, it is what it was. I used what I had, and I wasn't really like, I need military in my life. There wasn't anything like that as a kid. But I think really what like just really ticks me a little bit is just like the acknowledgement of like, or the lack of acknowledgement of the just the military in general. Like they've openly said, we won't do it. We don't believe in it, blah, 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 blah. And I think just what I know from the insides and like how they feel about it, it just kind of irks me a lot.
Well, there's big communities of people that do not support the like the military. And I think like a lot of countries like don't support the military. And I think we have to be a little bit empathetic for countries that actually fought wars on that land within the last 100 years. Do you know what I mean? And I think there's, you can like, you can like there's so many studies that have been done, and it's really fascinating as to how people feel about the military and how they feel about supporting the military when, like, quite literally, like their grandparents, like their homes and like, you know, whatever was like completely destroyed. Like, basically, you can, like, parts of Europe that are like, I have no interest in the military, we don't want any kind of military, blah, 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 because they have like a vivid memory of like military occupation, versus like in the US, it hasn't really happened since like the Civil War, you know? And so I think there is like, there might be an element of that. I don't know. I'm kind of like, you know.
I think that's a big part of it for LEGO, because the Denmark has been occupied by Germany during the war, and a lot of Denmark has been bombed. So I think Denmark being in Europe, compared to like being in America, would have probably changed that perspective. I think that you see, I think Indiana Jones and Star Wars, I think it teaches kids maybe some good morals about like, these are the bad guys, these are the good guys, you have to fight the good fight. And I think that's important no matter what fight, even if it's a military fight or if it's just taking a fight, like not a physical fight, but standing up for what's important. I think that's teaching kids about that, I think, is good
that's,
as well.
That's exactly what I feel like. Just making it a fantasy version of it will, like, it, if you're going to teach, make it a lesson, that would be a good one. Like, kids always want a good versus bad. I want to be the good guy. No, I want to be the good guy. I want to be the good guy. No, fine, I'll be the robber. And like I said, I've had personal instances where I've had to explain to veterans and kids of, like, LEGO doesn't do military, I'm sorry. I think I've had a lot of, like, you know, interactions like that to make me be really passionate about it.
But I mean, can't you be like, LEGO doesn't make modern military, but you just came out with like Alliance Knight Castle. You have the capacity of buying hundreds, if not thousands, of Lion Knights and whatever. You know what I mean? You have the capacity to make it. It's just like, and then like Star Wars is a conflict. Indiana Jones is a conflict. Like all the old, like even like police and versus city, like space and like all the like Mars mission, all that space stuff. That's like all conflict. They're all conflict based. Every single one, even Harry Potter is conflict based. And even Ninjago has their own like armies. So it's like, you do have what you're asking for. You have a fantastical conflict based army like situation. It's just, I don't like what more would they have other than.
They're not modern. Like, they're futuristic or in the past.
Yeah, but that's why I'm happy to see it in Indiana Jones. Like, it's still like modern military, but it's also like the Indiana Jones typical. He's a very like happy-go-lucky hero. He's always right. He's always happy, and he's fighting Nazis. It's like there's not much that is very.
Yeah, it's an A and B simple. Like, yeah, from
very simple that Nazis are bad. I don't think it's very hard to understand for kids playing with the military Lego like that.
Right, but then you've got like. People who are actually have family who are Nazis, and people don't really want reminders of like that. You know, if you go to Germany, you go to Berlin, and it's like you turn a corner and there's like a Holocaust memorial. You know what I mean? It's like you can like quite literally feel like a sense of guilt that's going on. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't feel guilty, for God's sakes, but like, you know, there are things that happened like in their backyards in like a very real way. That's like in recent memory. And I think like people are not interested in being reminded of them in the toys. It's like they remember it. They have stories from their families. They walk outside. They see it. So like when they go home and they have their escape like into the toys and having that, you know what I mean? It's like I think people don't want it in the same way. And which to you probably is like completely different, because you're like, I am, you know, I'm a vet. I like want, you know, I want to have that interaction. You know what I mean? But I think there's a difference in terms of like choosing it. And then like having it in your backyard. You know, I'm curious, like if, you know, if it happened, like let's say we had warfare on American soil, like if your wife or your neighbor would feel the same way about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm not oblivious to that thought.
No. Yeah. I think there's just that. I think it's, I genuinely think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
So like one of the big stances that I had for it was just the lack of acknowledgement as a profession. Like I maybe that's just like another thing that's like hidden deep inside me, is that like people don't see it as such, you know, they don't think of our military as a professional military. Like they don't see how much money in education and, you know, everything that would be for like the experience, the knowledge, the history. Like there's like, I feel like just the lack of acknowledgement as a profession for some people is like, it could have some like under hidden tones, and why I'm so passionate about it. Is that like, look, it takes the average soldier doesn't just go to war in 2 months. You know, they have to, they have years before they even see the front line. And that's just a basic grunt. There's also, like, you know, your high intellect type of professions, like intel, pilots, like, just, I can go on. But, like, I feel like just the lack of acknowledgement of that by certain individuals in different communities, I think also has a hidden undertone to why I'm also like, oh, well, then Lego won't do it. And also, you're seeing other companies do it and they're succeeding so well in it. Although it's great, yeah, there's an outlet for it, but in the end, I love Lego and I would like this to be made out of Lego and not have to spend $600 for something that would cost Lego to do in like $20, you know? Yeah. And there's a lot of people, that comment on videos when I make stuff like that, like, oh, I wouldn't buy this. It's too expensive. I don't see the worth in this. Even though I explain why it's expensive, they're like, I can't afford this. And I understood, you can't afford it. So they'll go to Kobe or they just won't get it. Like, I feel like it can be done in a way that satisfies everybody to even their own values without having to, like, highlight tragedies in this world.
I don't know, though. I mean, like, I get, like, what you're saying. I just don't think people are ever satisfied, just to, like, to be totally frank. Like, think about the slack that Brickmania gets and how, like, nitpicky particularly that community gets. And, it's like, why would Lego not touch that with a 10-foot pole? I would say, though, that, like, you know, we complain that Lego might be, like, a little bit, like, flippant in terms of their philosophies and their decision making. However, you know, to their credit, they've been pretty firm on this, I feel like for a while. You know, the Osprey was like a one-off, and, like, you know, I think they try to toe the line, and then it's probably a top-down belief system. And it really is that. And it's like, you know what, this is something that hits too close to home. We have no interest in doing it. And not to completely dismiss your desire of the recognition of the career of military, that's not the same for every country. That's, like, a very specifically, like, American and Western thing in terms of, like, that style of military. Like, the majority of the world doesn't do military in that way. You know what I mean? There's so many different ways that, like, the rest of the world approaches the military that's completely different. And it's like, it's kind of impossible to recognize, like, China, the US, Russia, Afghanistan, you know, like, I think it's too real. I think it's too complex. And I don't even think, like, those other brands, like, do a great job about it. It is quite Western focused and not necessarily, like, recognizing, like, a lot of big parts of the rest of the world. Like, when do you see, like, have you seen Huns as, like, any kind of, like, Lego set ever? And those are, like, millions of people that were recognized, and, like, maybe they were, but it's not, like, a huge branch. It's always, like, Western based, right? Like, isn't it always Western based?
Didn't we have a Hun in a CMF?
It's
one. We have one, but they've done it, like, in a historical way. Hold on a second.
I mean, it's true. Like they won't go back to Western. Like, Lego made Western, and that was a very subject already with, you know, the Native Americans. Like, that's,
yeah,
everybody wants Western to come back. I want Western to come back. I love Western. That was, like, one of my favorite themes. But I honestly don't think Lego would ever go back with it, especially with, you know, what happened during that time frame for the United States. That was a very, like, rough time for this country, and, like, Lego touched it. They didn't do it elegantly, but, like,
yeah, but you feel that way, right? It's, yeah, like, it wasn't a rough time here, but, like,
I still went on to make them, but I'm saying, like, I get why they wouldn't. So I'm not oblivious to that. Yeah. I'm not ignorant to the fact that, you know,
there are
complexes to it, but I'm just, this is just wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I would have been satisfied if the Osprey came out and just said, screw it. it's done. I think the highlighting the bell part and, you know, just saying that this is coming, this is a licensed product from, like, this is supporting an actual industry that contributes to this whole thing. I think that was a hardcore, like, oops. You know what I mean? So
also, we have war in our backyards. Like, there's a war happening right now in Europe, like, with Ukraine. And, and I think Lego is always very, it's like Western themed, but it's very, like, European themed. I feel like with the knights and everything, it's mostly European history. And when it's like Indians versus cowboys, it's like the European view on that, which is coming from movies and comic books, but not really having the understanding of what was really going on there. So I think it's very European focused, really. So our view on the American military isn't the same as yours, obviously. So it's coming from that as well.
It's fun to like ask like people from other countries, like, what is your like, what did you guys learn about this period of time of our history? Like when I ask like any of the anyone from like Britain, what did you guys learn about our revolution? Like, what's, do they highlight? It's just really fun to see how different countries' aspects of history from their point of view.
I mean, they certainly know more about our history than we know about theirs. That's like very American centric, which is, you know what I mean? I think there's a big fault in our way of thinking. Yeah. But
true.
I think the majority of the world is quite aware of the financial power that goes towards the American military system. That is quite literally, you know, our American military is what we use to stronghold our way in a lot of things. I mean, that's like how, what we've seen in our history to work and not work for us. You know what I mean? I think the rest of the world is pretty aware of like what the perception that the US wants to have. Do you know what I mean? I think it's very intentional how the rest of the world sees us in some ways. So it's a bummer for, you know, you guys and stuff. I get it, you know, especially when, because it is fascinating, like the psychology, the concept of warfare, the strategy that goes into it. It is something that also benefits from model making. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's too bad that like they can't, you know, subsidize a company like Brickmania in a way or something like that. But that's like, it's too hard for their ethics. You know, it's one thing for them to produce it. Maybe it's a way for them to have, you know, a contract with Brickmania to like ideally. But that's very complicated at that
yeah,
point.
No, yeah, yeah. That would be really cool though to at least lower the price. Because imagine if Brickmania is able to sell this in like mass, you know, like how many people would want it, would be able to enjoy it and afford it. Just because a lot of their pricing comes from how much bricks cost and how much it takes to make a set. So that a lot of people forget, like, why is this $700? I'm like, well, you know how many people have touched this thing and like how much work has been put into this. So you can do it yourself, but it's not going to be the same. So, you know,
it's like, an excess though. It is an excess. Like the prices of those sets they're not like, it puts a cap on the business itself as well, which is,
oh yeah. Well, I mean, if you're going to mass produce something, your model has to change. So it's, you know, it's going to really flip what they have to do to be able to make this in mass. Cause they, like I said, they do everything by hand. That's not going to work if you're going to, you know, mass produce this in a scale to where it could be cheaper.
Yeah. And I think that Brickmania, even if they had cheaper parts, it would still be more expensive, just because I feel like what's interesting about Brickmania, in addition to just being military, is that the level of detail and like the advanced building techniques that they can go into. Like I've been looking at the Indiana Jones set, the new plane. Like if Brickmania would make that plane, it would be like twice the size and maybe twice the amount of pieces. It would definitely not have stickers. Like I think there's a bit of level of detail there that that Brickmania can bring that is also like they can show. Like we've also seen that like Lego has taken techniques that Brickmania have been using for years, because Brickmania can push the envelope of like what's possible with Lego and Lego design, and what can you sell.
Do you think there's value in like Brickmania adopting some of those like cost saving strategies, and maybe it's like a different line, you know, maybe they have like a certain degree of products that are like of the high level, but then, you know, maybe they like start streamlining quite a bit, like those that decrease in detail, the prints versus the stickers, the size difference, these are huge cost savings. You know what I mean? Like this is like, you know, I would guess like at least like 40% off the top. You know what I mean? I mean, I could be wrong, but that like, it seems like those are things that they could do to make it cheaper. So maybe, you know, like a lot of designers like have diffusion lines. It's almost like it could be like a Brickmania, whatever. And then they only have maybe 10 sets and they produce those in mass, and like they only come out with like one or two new sets a year or something, and they're like much larger scale. I think that would be really interesting, and then that would access a completely different demographic as well of people who can buy that stuff. It seems like, in the same way that, not to like totally poo-poo on Brickmania, because like we were just there last weekend, great, you know, great people, great product, but I do think that there is like a very similar like ideology as Lego with Brickmania and a couple things. Like, you know, they have their morals, they stick by their morals, they have their fandoms, they stick by their fandoms, and they're, you know, a little bit stubborn with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, why? Like, I get like you can access I do like that they sell their instructions. I think that there's that really shows that they're like, okay, trying to figure out either a way to like access, you know, a different demographic, but also it doesn't cost them anything additional to like produce that, you know what I mean? To have that accessible. I don't know. I'm just really curious, like what you guys think if they did something like that. I don't even know if it's possible. That would obviously cost a lot, you know, upfront.
Yeah, they have been doing like a Durabuilder series before. I know they had like one of the Jeeps that were like quite a bit simpler. Mm-hmm. But then it loses its charm. I feel like it doesn't have the same amount of detail. You would probably just go on to buy a Lego kit instead. I feel like that's one of the things China has for their advantage, is just being able to do more advanced techniques for people who, because sometimes when you build a Lego set and it's very simple, you can feel like you're almost feeling that they're calling you stupid because you can't do any better. I feel it's for more people who want to build more advanced sets as well.
Got it. So but that has to be a different company, different product line. Yeah, I mean, I guess if they did it, it would be it wouldn't even say Brickmania. It would say like, you know, it would be a completely different thing, I guess. Yeah, but I agree with you. I think that is, especially because they've been around for such a long time, they've kind of like honed that specific, like that's what people are looking for. And I think, but the problem is they've done that so well, and you guys have done that so well, that like it's, people now demand it. Like, you can't not be perfect. It almost seems like a little bit, but anyway, different issue.
And I like stickers. I like stickers a lot. It has a lot of advantages for maybe if you have like different number markings or different whatever names you want to add to your vehicle. I think that's a good idea, but people ask for prints. Like they want prints. They don't want to buy like a premium kit and then get a lot of stickers. So I see that side of the argument as well. But personally, I would love to see more stickers. I think stickers is good. Even Lego is doing too many stickers. It seems like people are complaining about stickers in their Lego sets too. So
I don't have a problem with stickers. Yeah. I mean, whatever keeps the price down. World War Brick is coming up, and same as Chicago, right? So you have two different conventions, both military, that represents the military community as well as overall thing. You're going to go to both, right?
Yeah, I'm going to both, and I'm also going to Brick Fair Virginia this year.
So you're going first. So you've seen like conventions small and big. What can you highlight your experience with like World War Brick? Like, what is it like? Because we've heard it from Brickmania, but to come from the community, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think World War Brick is great. It's a nice way to just getting that military community together, and also the people of Minneapolis. There's a big community there. A lot of people in Minneapolis who want to build Lego and see Lego nearby. But I think the military community is very strong. I hope more people come this year as well. It was very specialized, but also having a lot of advantages by being a Brickmania event, because Brickmania can supply like awards, and there's prizes for the winners, and also having the Brickmania headquarters as a venue. I think it's great, and also people coming to see the designers. It's also like a Brickmania show in addition to just being a convention. I think it's the best of both worlds.
I've only been to like really large ones. I mean, Chicago being the hugest one I've ever been to, but I'm not talking about like the Cascades, like the famous ones. I'm talking about like Brickfest, where there's a lot of people. So the World War Brick one was my first like very intimate, you know, kind of feel. And I actually really enjoyed it. There's just, you know, you have time for conversations. You have time to actually dissect what builds are in front of you. And like, you know, like just have a good time with people who really enjoy, you know, the fandom. So I hope Lego, I guess this is, you know, Lego not shutting Brickmania down is like their answer to the military community. Like, they could easily just be like, no, you're not doing this. And they allow companies like Brickmania, Brick Veteran, you know, minifig companies like, you know, Citizen Brick to, you know, Forest Moon to create whatever they want to create on their stuff. Yeah, they've kind of tied it in a little bit, you know, as far as the timing and what's actually put in. But like, for the most part, they allow these companies to do and make what they want. And I guess like just acknowledging that fact is, you know, hopefully Lego just continues to allow them to do so. And to have, you know, to see people enjoy World War Brick, you know, and enjoy the product. Because like, the past day, like when I went to, like 2 weeks ago, when I went to Miramar's anniversary, that they have the huge USS Macon Island, which, and for any of you that doesn't know what the USS Macon Island is, it's a Marine military assault ship. Like, it's huge. It's like a little tiny miniaturized like aircraft carrier, but it's not like a huge aircraft carrier. And what it does, it pretty much polices the world. I guess that's a horrible way to say it, but that's what it does. It just kind of just goes all over the place until something pops off, and the Marines can just get there right away. So the Macon Island just left San Diego, but I think that they just got back or something, but there are sailors from that ship going to Brickmania and Miramar and looking at the ship they lived on for months in Lego form, and just seeing like the childhood or the innocence of, you know, what this is to, you know, to what they actually do is really cool to see. And that's maybe another reason why I push for, you know, military Legos, because it not only humbles you a lot, but it just reminds you of what's really important in life. Yeah. So that's just my take on it. I just hope Lego doesn't destroy them.
No, they have been going for a while, and I know that Lego is quite aware of Brickmania and all of the stuff going on, and I don't think they have a problem with it. They can't really stop people from doing what they want with Lego. That's like the point of Lego, is you can make what you want.
And plus Mary's over there.
Oh yeah,
that's why they bought
yeah, she's infiltrated them.
Yeah. And that's why they bought Bricklink, so they could have their,
I know they're profiting share from Brickmania anyways.
They get their share. Yeah.
They're sure. So if you buy a Brickmania set, you're technically buying a Lego set.
Yeah.
Almost, because you're buying it from Brooklyn. Okay. Even if you want to go in that direction, you know it's not. But yeah, so I guess it's a good place to put a fork in it. Is there anything else you guys want to say, bring up, say, or do? No. Is there any final words, Andres?
No, I hope to see you guys in Chicago maybe, and in Virginia. That would be nice. If there's any of the viewers out there, come and say hi.
All right, Ninja, you want to roll us out, dude?
Yeah, man, with that being said, don't let me roll it out. Let that music play.
Jeez.
A bit of a political debate.
Yeah, we got there. I figured it might go that direction, because anytime talking about it,
I want like a military.